I invite you to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we wait. We watch for your coming. Lord, we pray, come soon and bring us joy in who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to think for a moment back to the last sunrise that you had a chance to witness. Maybe it's you get up early and you're sitting in your easy chair in your living room, cup of coffee in one hand, Bible in the other, enjoying a little bit of quiet time with Jesus as you're looking out that living room window. Maybe you got up to get an early start on a vacation. On the road early, the kids are still sleeping in the back. You're kind of peering out through this tunnel of light created by your headlights in the darkness. You look up at the sky. It's totally black. Maybe as you study, you can begin to see the blacker outline of the trees silhouetted against the darkness of the sky. And nothing seems to change. And then gradually, slowly, you begin to see that sky has become just a little bit lighter, but still you can't see anything. A little while later, you suddenly notice that you can begin to make out the outlines of things that are on the ground. A little bit later, you actually begin to see them in a little bit of their color and definition, but still there's no sun in the sky. Look off to the east, you can begin to see a little bit of brightness. And then finally, suddenly, the sun pops up over the edge of the horizon, the beams of the sun's light come out, and the whole landscape is transformed. If you can keep that picture in your mind of the sun peeking up over the horizon and the change that that brings, that picture is the picture of what's happening in our hymn verse today. For the last 2 weeks, for the last two stanzas, we've been lost in the night. We've been stuck in this sorrow, in this darkness, this waiting, this watching, almost overcome by the sadness, the sorrow of this, the brokenness of this world as we wait for the coming of the Christ. But then today, in our hymn verse, something has radically changed. Sorrowing wanderers in darkness yet dwelling, dawned has the day of a radiance excelling, death's deepest shadows forever dispelling. Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. Christ's coming brings us joy. Like the sunrise breaking through the darkness, the coming of Christ breaks through the sadness of our existence in this earth filled with sin, and it brings us joy. In the third week of Advent, we lit the rose-colored candle today. That change is that the third Sunday in Advent has typically been known as the joyful Sunday in Advent. We focus now on the joy that Christ has brought into our life as he comes. Even as Advent is this time of waiting, of watching, of preparing, of recognizing that Jesus is not yet here, still in the midst of that waiting and watching, there is this joy, this confidence of knowing that Christ is indeed coming soon. And Christ, the light, shines into the darkness of our lives even now. A reading from Isaiah gives us a different picture, but the meaning is the same, that into the brokenness of our lives comes this radiant healing of Jesus. The picture that Isaiah paints is one of a desert. Listen to these words again. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. A desert into a garden, a stream appearing in the midst of the desert, the burning sand becoming a pool? That's impossible, right? Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This is Isaiah's point, that this is, humanly speaking, impossible. In chapter 34, he paints a picture of a beautiful garden becoming a desert. This is what happens when people trust in themselves. But then here in chapter 35, he paints the reverse, the picture of a desert becoming a garden. This is what happens when people learn to trust in the God who comes to save them. Joy bursts into the midst of their sadness. Are you looking for light in the midst of your darkness? Are you looking for some joy in the midst of your sadness and despair? That's impossible apart from Christ. But in Christ, all things are possible. Christ's coming brings us joy. And there are three ways that that joy takes shape in our lives. The first is this: Christ coming brings us unconquerable hope for future joy. Think back to that sunrise picture for a moment. You're watching, you're waiting for that sunrise, but as you're watching, as you're looking, you can't see anything change. It's just darkness. You don't see the colors beginning to appear. And yet, as surely as you know that the earth is still turning, you know that that sunrise is coming. Even when you can't see it happening, you know the sun is coming up. Well, as you look around this earth, you can see the earthly realities, right? You can see the brokenness, the hurt, the despair. You can see the deadlines that are piling up, the bills that are coming due. You can see the broken relationships around you that you're involved in. You can see the judgments that other people put on you. You can see those earthly realities. You can't see the heavenly realities. The fact that Jesus is coming, the fact that God is working for your good. And yet, just like that sunrise, we know that it's true. We know that he is coming. We know that Christ is coming to bring us joy. Unconquerable hope for future joy. This is the joy of this dual focus of Advent, of how we look back towards the coming of Christ that happened in the manger, and we look forward to the coming of Christ again in glory. That first coming is the down payment. It's the guarantee that says this second coming is indeed going to happen. It is the promise, the guarantee that those promises will be fulfilled. Christ is coming soon, and his coming gives us unconquerable hope for a future joy. But it's not just a future joy, is it? Christ's coming brings us joy in the wilderness of this present life. Isaiah says this as he talks about the desert turned into the garden. He says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Jesus, in our gospel reading, when asked about his ministry, pointed back to this passage in Isaiah. "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the lepers are cleansed." This is happening now. Jesus did not just promise them some future hope down the road, "Hold on, it's coming sometime." Jesus was working in the here and the now to bring them healing and peace. He healed the sick and the lame. He proclaimed good news to the poor. He accepted the outcast and the broken down and the rejects of society. He was working in the here and the now, in the wilderness of this life. And Jesus is working right now in your life and mine. Jesus promises to you and me that your sins, my sins, our sins are forgiven. And that's forgiven now. That's not, "Oh, they will be forgiven if you do these things, if you clean up your act, if you go out and fix the things you've done wrong." Your sins are forgiven now. It's all taken care of. Your relationship with God has been reconciled and healed and restored now. Jesus is working for your good right here and right now. And those things that God has been doing in restoring his relationship with you spills over into the rest of your life. As you begin to find peace and joy in who you are as a child of God, knowing that he loves you and accepts you. As that forgiveness that he has poured into your life begins to work itself out into the lives of those around you, as you go out and begin to forgive others and seek reconciliation and peace with others because of what Christ has done in you, Jesus is working for your good now. Finally, Christ's coming has given us a joyful task of being his agent of joy. See, joy can't be contained. Joy naturally just spills over to someone else. If you've been witnessing that glorious sunrise, one of those beautiful ones where it's filled with colors, you're driving in the car, you're shaking your spouse, "Wake up, honey, look at the sunrise, how beautiful it is." We just went to a fabulous Persian restaurant last night. Love to tell you about it. It was awesome. Our kids are going, "This is the greatest restaurant ever, better than McDonald's." It's easy to talk about something when it's been a joy to you. And if you don't have a joy, it feels like a burden. It feels like an obligation. If you haven't experienced joy in Jesus, then the call to go and be his agent of joy, to go and tell others about your faith in Christ, seems like one more thing you've got to do, this big, difficult burden. But when you have received joy in Christ, when you've received his forgiveness and grace, you know what a difference that makes in your life, then you can't help but want to go and to tell your friends and your family and everyone around you, "Look at this great thing that I have found and the joy that it has brought me and the joy that it can bring to you." Christ has given us the joyful task of being his agent of joy. Standing in the darkness, it can be hard to see the light of day coming. Standing in the desert, it's hard to imagine it becoming a beautiful garden. Standing in the brokenness of this life, it can be hard to imagine what it will be like when Christ comes again in his glory. And yet, as his redeemed Advent people, we have joy because we know that Christ is indeed coming soon. May the promise of his coming, the promise guaranteed by his birth in the manger, may that fill you with joy both now and forevermore. Amen. And may the peace and the joy of God fill your hearts beyond understanding until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. We now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed on the screens. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We join our song of the day.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I'll lift up these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. So love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. Filled with hope, and every promise comes my way. When I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I lift up these hands in praise. I will believe. Remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Oh, no. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. And I am yours. Mountain high, or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul that I am yours, I'm forever yours.
Let us pray now for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, bless us this Advent season as we wait and watch for your coming. Give us certainty in the promise that you are coming again soon, and joy in the certainty of that promise. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those suffering from physical ailments of various kinds. We pray especially for Don Bischoff, Ron Fike, Shirley Hemingway, Mike Maxwell, Carol Oldie, John Shreve, Marcy Scharnhorst, Irma Wilmoth, and all those we name in our hearts at this time. Restore them to health according to your will, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who are unemployed and underemployed, those who are dealing with relationship challenges, and others who are struggling right now. Assure them of your presence and give them your peace. Help us individually and together as a community following Jesus to reach out to others in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our mission partners in Guatemala. Bless them and their efforts to serve the people around them. Continue to stir in our hearts a desire for your love and care to be shared with others near and far. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we thank you for milestones such as birthdays and anniversaries, the birth of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, other evidences of your goodness. May we daily give thanks to you for your abundant blessings. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Lord has come. Our Lord is coming again. Till he does come, he gives us this meal as a way of assuring us that he is still with us, strengthening our faith, bringing us peace and joy. So on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." We join in praying the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord gives us this meal as a meal of his grace, and he invites all to come and receive his forgiveness and grace. And yet, his word also instructs us that we should examine ourselves before we come to this table, so that we don't come in a way that would be to our spiritual harm. What we believe that means on the rest of Scripture is this. First of all, that we are baptized into the Christian faith, is this is the entry point of those who would come and be his followers. It means not that we're perfect, but rather that we recognize our sin and our continuing need for his grace in our lives. And it means that we trust in his promise that here in these simple elements of bread and wine, that Jesus comes with his very own body and blood broken and shed on the cross, given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. All those who believe as we believe are welcome to come and participate in this meal of grace. Welcome to the table of the Lord. You may be seated.
Bible looks down low and up above. Where can I find this place of peace? Rest I'm along for a
stand. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in true faith to life everlasting. Go now in his peace and joy. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We join our closing song.
Who's moving on the waters? Who's holding up the moon? Who is speeding by the darkness with the burning light of noon? Who is standing on the mountain? Who is on the earth, Lord? Oh, who is bigger in the heavens and the lover of my soul? Creator God, he is Yahweh. The great I am, he is Yahweh. The Lord of all, he is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon. Of Sharon, he is Yahweh. The righteous Son, he is Yahweh. The three in one, he is Yahweh. Oh, who is he that makes me happy? Who is he that gives me peace? Who is he that brings me comfort? The bitter into sweet. Oh, who is he that turns my passion? Who is rising up in me? Oh, who is filling up my hunger? Everything I need, yeah.
Creator God, Yahweh, the great I am, he is Yahweh, the Lord of all, he is Yahweh. Rose of Sharon, he is Yahweh, the righteous Son, he is Yahweh, the three in one, he is Yahweh.
Creator God, we say,
Creator God, he is Yahweh, the great I am, he is Yahweh. Son, he is Yahweh, the three in one, he is Yahweh.
Prepare the way of the Lord. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prepare the way of the Lord. Morning. Did you notice mine here? Oh, I'm on. I'm on. I'm live. That tech. No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm on. So, yeah, but it's, yeah, we're getting really thin. He makes me a little nervous. Yeah, I didn't. Ms. Ferris talked. Pack in at least 60 more, if not 100 more people.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. Well, I'm ushering in the 4 o'clock service, so we'll. I don't know. It seems like last year, I remember we kind of squeezed things a little bit, and then we didn't really need it. I mean, it seems like we weren't even full back to here. So
we were 180 instead of 220.
Yeah.
And you know, it's partly because I put.
Weeks is crazy, isn't it?
It does not seem like we're ready for it
Christmas
yet.
Preschool record.
Yep, it did.
Because I just told Rex I'm going to become the. Is it too many?